15 days from now, pitchers and catchers reporting down to Dunedin for your Toronto Blue Jays, and then spring training games getting cranked up shortly thereafter. Starters usually play about an inning or so that first week, start to get their legs under them. That's the one thing about spring training. I mean, it's great because we get to see the beautiful temperatures generally when we're freezing cold up here and just starting to thaw out, but it's a little long. And we're talking about like a month and almost a half that spring training lasts, but you got to do it when you're talking about stretching out your starting pitchers, getting them into the swing of thing, getting your starters, their timing down and everything. But it'll be fun in a 2 weeks and one day when we can actually talk about what's going on at spring training and, oh, you know, all the starters going down with injuries in springtime, which, you know, sometimes happens. Hopefully it doesn't. Mike Wilner, the host of Blue Jays Baseball, joins me on the line right now. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Ben.
Hey, did you just see? I just tweeted it out.
I did. I just saw it.
Emilio Bonifacio is available. Now, I'm not. First of all, if you, I mean, you got to make room for Bruce Chen. I mean, you have to.
Yeah, you have to.
Oh, that's no question. That's the deal the Royals made. He was good for them last year, had an on base of like 350, stole a few bases, and actually I saw some defensive web gems, stole 16 bases for him in 42 games. Honestly, Mike, I know they probably wouldn't do this because it was such a horrible experience Blue Jays had with him. That is such a nice bench piece, Emilio Bonifacio.
In a heartbeat, I would bring him back.
I would too.
In a heartbeat.
You can't don't expose him to playing every day, but he is a spectacular bench piece.
Don't expect him to play second base for you. I mean, he showed that the turf just killed him last year, and he can't do it. But if you need to spot somebody, he can play second, he can play third, he can play the outfield. He runs like the wind. He has gotten on base in the past. He is freely available, and once he got out of here, he was thoroughly renewed. Perfect bench piece for them. And you want Rajay Davis version 2.0, you bring back Emilio.
He gets on base at a better clip than Rajay, and he can hit righties as well.
Well, he didn't when he was here. I mean, it was an absolute train wreck for 4 months last year. But he has in the past, and I wouldn't even blink at calling him right now and offering him a contract.
I can imagine the Blue Jays fan base right now is cringing at the possibility. But Mike, we know Alex Anthopoulos doesn't care what people think. He's going to do the move that's right for this club. Do you honestly think he's considering it?
I hope he is. I don't know. It's pretty new news, and you would think that you would be able to get him from the Royals now in a trade for, like,
nothing
for waiver costs. It's like Jeremy Jeffress last year.
Yeah.
I certainly hope he is.
Yeah, that would be interesting. You throw him in the mix on the bench. Yeah, it's definitely – I mean, when you can bring that kind of speed off the bench, pinch hit late in games as well. Well, you don't have Rajay.
The bench is not good right now.
No, you don't have Rajay anymore.
Rajay Davis. There's no Mark DeRosa, not that he was a huge contributor, but he got some big hits for them, and you could spot him in a couple of different places. Right now your bench is not looking terrific. And if you're not going to get that lefty crusher to platoon with Adam Lind, and you still could if you bring in Bonifacio. I was, you know, yesterday when Roger Arvin Bernardina signed with the Reds, or the day before, I was thinking he could have been a nice fourth outfield piece for the Blue Jays and allow Anthony Ghost to play every day down in Buffalo. But right now, if your bench is Ghost, Sierra, whoever the backup catcher is, and Meiser Asturias, Bonifacio makes that better.
Yeah, I forgot about Ghost. That's a nice pinch-running option as well, late in games.
Yeah.
And a nice defensive replacement for Melky when he's calcifying in left field. I would like to improve the bench with Emilio, although the public reception guaranteed would not be good. How about A.J. Burnett? I mean, he only recently...
Public reception.
He only recently entered the free agent fray. He's talking about retirement. I'm not even going to mention Tracy McGrady, Mike, who's starting a pitching career. He's going to go pitch for the Sugarland Skeeters. But how about A.J. Burnett, the possibility? At worst, I think, at least he waters down and spreads out the free agent pitching market and allows the Blue Jays maybe to get a lower price on somebody.
How about Russell Wilson while you're at it?
Sure, yeah, he can. He's an outfielder, right?
The Rangers picked him in.
What?
The Rangers picked him in the Rule 5 draft.
Yeah, that's true, so they'd have to make a deal.
Well, I think in the minor league portion, so it's okay. Yeah. They get to keep him. Look, A.J. Burnett is another guy who, if you brought him back, the public reception would be terrible. There are still people whining about how he tipped his cap to the booing fans in one of his last starts as a Blue Jay.
It's a funny move.
I thought he shouldn't have done it, fine, but it was hilarious.
Yeah.
So this is a guy who is an effective major league pitcher who is better than Jay Happ and who would
make long list,
Blue Jays rotation better. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he's going to sign here. I think he prefers to be in Baltimore or in Pittsburgh. But who knows? I mean, it's not like I've talked to him or Derek Broniker or anything like that to measure that. This is just the stuff I'm hearing. But, you know, he doesn't tie your hands for 3 or 4 years like Baldy or Irvin Santana does, and that just makes room sooner for the Drabecks and Hutchisons and Stromans and Nolans and Sanchezes. And, you know, you don't necessarily want to be tied to someone for 3 or 4 years when you've got those kids coming up.
And unless also, they're going to be good.
But he's just as good as the other two for a couple of years for a year, isn't he?
I think so. He might be better. And he has experience in this division, although it wasn't so great with the Yankees. But, you know, on his option year, he was good. Started 34 games. My God, he was healthy, Mike, and he struck out 231 in the American League
healthy.
East.
He's been healthy for years now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, except for the time he missed in Pittsburgh was because he bunted a ball off his eye. So the arm's been fine.
That was ridiculous. I forgot about that until you reminded me of it. That was in spring training too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, don't let your pitchers hit in spring training would be what I learned from that. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here on Sportsnet 590.
Well, it wasn't
the
even in a game, though, I don't think.
I don't know if it was or
not. No, I don't think it was.
You got to get, I don't know, how does that, you wonder how that doesn't happen more often, really, I guess. But, I don't know, I guess you got to be pretty inept, which he was. At bunting, at least. What about the other guys? What are they going to command here, Mike? Are we talking about a 4-3? I mean, we've heard talk that, at least I have, at least on the internet, that some of these deals might end up down to 3 years now.
Yeah, and the prices are dropping every day. And the Blue Jays are sitting in the catbird seat, as it were. You know, they're the only team that's interested in these guys. It doesn't have to give up a first-round pick. And so they're sitting and watching prices drop all around and hoping to kind of scoop up the leftovers. And we've talked about this before. I think you sign one, you give up a second rounder. You sign another, you give up a third. And then you kind of dip your toe into another. And it'll only cost you a fourth-round pick where everybody else is giving up a first. And that makes your price point way, way better. And that's for, you know, if you sign Jimenez and Santana and Drew, or if you sign Jimenez and Drew and Nelson Cruz or anything like that, that third guy, you're giving up so much less than everybody else. You can afford to pay so much more.
Although Mike Piazza was like a 500th round pick. So, I mean, you could be missing out on Mike Piazza, Mike.
Yeah, he was a 62nd round pick, it's true. But, you know, there are people who wonder how you go from being a 62nd round pick to being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
so.
Very interesting.
Which is why he's not in there. I'd have voted for him. But
yeah, me too. I would have voted for everybody. Except maybe it's tougher and tougher every day to vote for A-Rod when he finally becomes eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Look, if you can plug your nose and vote for
Barry Bonds. I would vote for Barry Bonds 100 times if I could.
Albert Bell or whoever. I mean, you can vote for Alex Rodriguez. Barry Bonds is, and there's not even
there's
a
no
question.
No, not to me because no. He maybe broke the law or whatever, but it was such the culture of the game back then.
Yeah, exactly. And you could argue that he was the best player ever.
Oh yeah, I would.
Babe Ruth. So, yeah, there's not even a question for Barry Bonds, even though he seemed to be a horrible human being. But, you know, Alex Rodriguez is just,
yeah.
But he's got to go in.
Yeah, we'll see. Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball, joining me. Hey, how was the state of the French fries? Did you enjoy at least going down to the Rogers Center?
They did not serve French fries.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed. But the disappointment in them not serving French fries was completely overwhelmed by the fact that twice in a media scrum, Alex Anthopoulos did refer to the event as the state of the French fries.
Did he do that on purpose, you think?
No, he was trying.
Did he correct himself?
Yeah, it was awesome.
That is funny. But from all accounts that I read, and I this is good because I don't want people to be rude, season ticket holders, even if they are disappointed with the lack of moves. There's just so much left to play out. And Alex said it. He's in his experience, he's never been this deep into the offseason and had so many quality players still available and out there. But by all accounts, the fans were, you know, not pleased, but not extremely upset with Blue Jays' lack of moves this offseason.
Well, you know what? It's a fun event. It kind of gets you back in baseball mode. You're at the ballpark, even though it was just a concrete, and you know there wasn't a field, baseball or football, out on there. So you're in a good mood because of that already. And they didn't take any live questions. They didn't do it last year.
Oh, they didn't?
Either. So, you know, smart. It's not because they were afraid of people being angry, because they didn't do it last year. Last year, everyone was over
ecstatic.
The moon excited about the team. So I think they just find it to be an easier, more structured way to do things. I don't like it. I would like them to take live questions, because then obviously you get happy, you get upset, you get whatever, and it's more real, and they don't get to prepare their answers ahead of time as much. But yeah, I think everyone was in a good mood, and when it was over, there were long lineups to talk to Alex and Beeston and Gibby, and nobody's happy with the way things have gone, and you know, you hear it more from the keyboard warriors than when you're actually live and in person with people, but that's just kind of how life works. But the truth of the matter, whether people want to hear it or not, is signing a guy on February 8th is the exact same as signing a guy on December 8th. And the truth, too, is that the two best free agent starting pitchers who require draft pick compensation are still available, and it's February, and the Blue Jays are right now in the best position of any team in the major leagues to sign either one of them.
Yeah, Mike, and the longer this goes, to me, I think the higher the chances are that the Blue Jays land one of Ubaldo Jimenez or Irvin Santana. I just think that the Blue Jays are waiting for their price, and maybe they're already at their price, but they're seeing if it can go even lower right now. Do you think there's a price that these guys get to where the Blue Jays aren't, they just say, first of all, what is that price? What is the level the Blue Jays are unwilling to go to? We know that the salary, the team's salary went up to a great degree last year. They were ninth in the majors, $117 million, but still behind the White Sox. We know the Angels spent a whole bunch, Giants, well, Red Sox and Yankees are there, Tigers though, and Phillies and the Dodgers. I mean, how much more payroll are they willing to add this offseason? What's their breaking point?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. And I don't think there's ever been a specific breaking point for the Blue Jays. I think it's always been, if we can get value, then we'll sign guys. And if we can't, then we won't. And we'll spend the money. And if we're paying a price that we're comfortable paying, then it doesn't matter what the overall payroll is, within reason, obviously. But I think that that's the way that they've always operated, and I think it's the way they'll continue to operate. So I don't believe there is a breaking point. I think that if they get players that they like at prices that they like, they'll get them all.
Really? So you think there is still a possibility of two starters and a second baseman?
Is there a possibility? Sure, it's not probable.
No.
But it could happen. Absolutely, it could happen. I don't think so, because I think that I don't think they need two starting pitchers with what they have. I mean, you could always use depth, and you could always
move Jay Happ to if Jay Happ starts in AAA. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's traded, then you trade him back to the National League in a Samardzija deal or something like that as a piece to give the Cubs a starting pitcher for one more year since they're giving one up, as the fourth piece in that trade, then that's fine. And that still could happen in July,
yeah.
Right? But, I hate to see them start the season, and I feel bad saying this, but I hate to see them start the season with Happ in the rotation if Drabek, Hutchison, and Stroman aren't, because I think all three of them
yep.
will be better.
Yeah. At some point, you got to start giving those pieces some major league innings. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here, Sportsnet today on the Sportsnet Radio Network. One of the things that stood out to me, Mike, during that State of the Franchise last week was Alex Anthopoulos saying that, no, they're not actively pursuing position players. Now, if something happens or, you know, they get approached or something makes sense, it's something they'll do. So I guess that's, I don't know, is that posturing? Do you really think that the Stephen Drew stuff is not really that viable for the Blue Jays? Where are they on adding a second baseman?
I don't know. And I tried to get him to not be able to dodge that question.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember exactly how I worded it. I think I said, are you talking to, have you made contact with, or are you interested in any free agent position players who, or any free agent non-pitchers who require draft compensation? So, Nelson Cruz, Stephen Drew,
yeah.
Henrys Morales, those three guys. And so I asked him that to try to get him to say something. Because if you ask him a direct question, he'll answer it unless he can find a way around it.
Yeah.
And so he found a way around it with pursuing. He said, well, we're not pursuing anybody right now. If they can bring in Stephen Drew, I think they'd be thrilled to bring in Stephen Drew. But first of all, you have to convince him to play second base, which I'm sure he's open to doing, but he'd rather play shortstop. So if somebody else is going to give him a contract and make him their shortstop, then he'll wind up going there. And then you have to see what he's going to cost you. Are you going to sign Jimenez or Santana so that Drew only costs you a third-round pick? Or is he going to cost you that second-round pick if he's the only comp free agent that you're going to sign? The market for him is stagnant right now. He's not signed with anybody. You would think the Yankees would be particularly desperate to bring him in because they need a second baseman and a third baseman.
Yeah.
But that hasn't happened yet. So I think it's kind of wait and see for a bit for him.
I've been surprised at the lack of moves made by the Baltimore Orioles, Mike. That offense, we know how great it is. And, I mean, they got Chris Davis out of nowhere, guy who hit 50 home runs, who's a big masher, who, I mean, was just pulled off the scrap heap there in Texas. And now he's hitting in the middle of their lineup. Adam Jones, one of the best offensive outfielders, and Nick Markakis is an on-base machine, and they got big power out of the shortstop position as well. But then you look at that starting staff, and I know the Blue Jays had one of the worst starting staffs in all of baseball by the numbers last year, and the Orioles did add Bud Norris, who's really, I think, projects more as a reliever.
He's okay.
He's a fastball slider guy. Probably can't get lefties out by any degree. Chris Tillman's finally starting to show his promise. Wei-Yin Chen is fine. But and Kevin Gausman's, you don't know what you have in him either. I thought the Orioles really needed to do some overhauling of their starting rotation, although maybe they're in on these two guys the Blue Jays were also chasing.
Right, and A.J. Burnett as well. And you know, we've heard Bronson Arroyo, too. I have a feeling he would not be a good fit in the American League East again. I'm surprised, too, but I was surprised the Orioles didn't do much last year either, that they were kind of content with what they had in that 2012 run, which everybody thought was smoke and mirrors, and they turned out to play pretty well last year too, but and stay in a race for a long time, which surprised me given the moves that they didn't make. So the same thing may apply for them this year, but again, they may be in on those starting pitchers too, and I would be surprised if they weren't. I would dispute that Nick Markakis is an on-base machine, and it's an interesting, I like the spin on J.J. Hardy that you did there.
Yeah, he doesn't get on base, but he hits home runs.
He's J.P. Arencibia.
No, he's better.
He is.
Oh, first of all, he's an elite-level defender, Mike.
Right, he can play defense, but he's J.P. Arencibia at the plate.
I'd have to go through the numbers, but I don't know about that.
Well,
I think he was outstanding last year, too. I'm bringing up the numbers. Yeah, I mean, he's a 312 on base For his career. So, I mean, that's still like 60 points higher than JP Aaron Sebia.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's what JP is, you know, when JP's good. His on-base hasn't been there the last couple of years. He's just been power and defense, which is fine at a shortstop.
At a shortstop, Mike. I think I'll take 25 home runs and an on-base around 300 at elite-level defense at short. Why are you killing J.J. Hardy? Why are you doing that?
He's just all right. You know what? He's Brendan Ryan with pop is what he is.
That's ridiculous, Mike. You're talking about Brendan Ryan, who's a complete one-dimensional player, who's a great defender. He's worse than Mario Mendoza offensively. And you're talking about a guy who plays not quite the level of defense that Brendan Ryan plays, but is more than capable offensively, Mike.
No, he's not more than capable offensively. He hits home runs and he doesn't do anything else.
He hits for average generally. He's a 260. I mean, I'm talking about as a shortstop. He's more than capable offensively. 20 home runs each of the last 3 years. Every year he's healthy. He's pretty much a lock for 20 home runs. But comparing him to Brendan Ryan is ridiculous. Stop that.
I think you're wrong.
Okay, whatever.
Brendan Ryan with pop. That's what he is.
I don't know. Either way, that's besides the point. I don't know what the point is, but that's beside it.
293 on base the last 2 years.
Yes. It's not great.
Terrible.
But
terrible.
You know, I think you have it in your head, and we've talked about this a couple of times. I don't think you know exactly where league average on base is. It's not 330 anymore. It's not 340. It's like 310.
It's about 317 now, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's not that far off. Yes, you'd like to have the on base over 300, but this is not the early aughts or the late 90s where guys, if you don't get on base at a 350, 360 clip, you're garbage.
It's true. I have no use for you if your on base is under 380. But that's about 15 years ago.
Yes, it is.
If your on base is under 300, too, I have no use for you.
Well, times they are changing, Mike, and I think at shortstop, if you play good defense, you're good. Good to go in my books. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Mike, I don't think we can draw too much into the fact that they sold out the home opener in like 2 seconds. They always do this, right? I mean, I tend to think there's going to be a little bit of a pushback in ticket sales. I mean, they were just flying off the shelves yesterday. If they sold tickets from a shelf, they don't. Right. But it was a hot ticket for a good portion of at least during the off season. I mean, they must have set records in off season ticket sales last year after the big moves with the Marlins and picking up R.A. Dickey and all that. Well, I mean, not records because there was 92, 93, but I mean, it must have been a surge like they hadn't seen in years at the box office there down at Rogers Center. I would suspect that trend has slowed quite a bit this off season, but I wonder if it changes if they get off to a good start. It's just so much of it comes down to a good start. And I know the season wasn't lost when the Blue Jays had that terrible start because they got right back into it with that massive winning streak, but it is just for the fan base to go through another slow start this year would just a lot of people would start having heart attacks again.
It would be terrible, and I don't know that people would react. I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't react the same way as they did last year. If this would be more of I told you they were never going to be any good, and here you go again, and all that stuff, as opposed to oh my God, what's happening, like it was last season. But a bad start would be terrible, and you know, they could very easily start the season 2-5, playing Tampa and the Yankees the first seven games of the season. And in fact, I remember thinking last year coming out of spring training, when they were coming home for the Cleveland-Boston series after the spring and the off season, and everyone was so excited, I thought, what if they go 2-4 in that first homestand?
They did.
And then I thought, nah, there's no way they go 2-4. And they did.
Yeah, they went 2-4. But then it got worse.
Yeah, and they were what, 11-27 or something?
Their first series win was that Kansas City series where they lost Jose Reyes.
Jose Reyes got blowed up. Yeah, that was unfortunate. But look, the ticket sales are down, obviously, from last year. There's no question about that. I don't think a good start will be enough to get it back. I really do think that they've got to do it for a few months. But I don't know. I don't know how long. I mean, you just looking at the Raptors, let's say, or the Maple Leafs, even at the beginning of this season, it didn't take long for people to start talking about them as saying, hey, man, maybe this is something. You know, it only took 20 games for the Raptors.
Well, no, the Raptors were off to a pretty mediocre start.
But they were in first place, and then they, yeah, after the Gay trade, like 2 weeks later, everybody's going, you know what? So here we go. So I wonder if in the middle of May they're playing really well, if people don't start to say, this is a nice surprise, and they're better than we thought they were, and they start to get into it. Because I've always thought that it would take, like, first place at the All-Star break or in a playoff spot in August before people really started to rally around the Blue Jays. But things are happening a lot earlier now these days, and people reach their conclusions a lot faster than they used to. So maybe, you know what? Maybe if there's another 27-14 start like there was 4 years ago or whenever it was.
And then they lost eight straight.
Nine
straight.
Yeah, that was awful. And Tim Hudson hit a home run off of Ricky Romero.
Yes.
The ninth one.
A 1-0 win, right?
Yeah. But maybe this time that will get people going, and then we'll get the 35-plus, and we'll get a real Blue Jay vibe throughout the summer.
Well,
it would be nice.
And Mike, to me, it's recent history. It was just so scarring, maybe not so much for players, but for fans last year. The rhetoric of it's still early, and I was among those that said it. You were too, and how it was early.
Yeah, because
when it was early. when it was early. But, I mean, I don't think you can say that ever to anyone this season, even if, you're talking about the first week and they only have a couple of wins during the week. They start 2-4 again or something. You can't say it's still early, even though it may be the case. It's just so scarring the way that season started last year. And, I mean, people almost forget that 11-game winning streak and that they were back over 500.
Yeah, they were ahead of the Rays at the end of June.
Yep, but it was
at least going into the last week of June.
They had
the same record as the Dodgers when LA came to town in July.
Do you think that the players are going to be thinking about that when they start this season?
I don't know. Maybe. I know that they're going to be thinking that they can't afford to get off to the same start they did. I mean,
yeah,
you can't start 11-27, and it takes so much to just get back into it. Like, they needed that 11-game win streak, and then they needed to be playing 600 ball the rest of the way, which,
yep,
is really hard to do. So, the truth of the matter is, and I'm sure, unless the Blue Jays start the season 8-1, I'm sure I'll be telling people it's early in April. And
you're still going to go to that? I think
that's it's true, whether you want to hear it or not.
Well, I think, like, we just need a different phrase, maybe. Like, it's not late. It's not late or something. I don't know. We need to work on that. Maybe hit us up on Twitter if you
there
don't.
There are still 140 games left. I mean,
you just can't say it's still early.
People are still giving me crap on Twitter about, is he still going to say it's early in the off season? Well, you know what? They're still there, so you can still sign them. And the truth of the matter is that no playoff spot is won or lost in April or in May or in June. You look at Oakland, you look at Houston a couple of times. This is like in the last 5 to 8 years. Teams that have been, where was Oakland at the end of May last year? 9.5 back, something like that? Or
yeah, they went.
Ago?
That was ridiculous, the run they went on.
It happens, and it happens when a team is talented
generally happens when you have good starting pitching.
You're not going to catch a crappy team. You have to have a good team to be able to do it, but it can be done. So, yeah, if the Jays are 7 games out at the end of May, there will still be 95 games left or 110 games left, and it will, in fact, still be too early to write the team off. Maybe that's what I'll say. Instead of saying it's early.
It's too early.
It's too early.
That's
to
better.
Say that it's over.
You know what? That's better. There's another thing. I mean, that, to me, it was scarring for this team to start the way they did. The other scarring thing, 0-10 at Yankee Stadium was, I have never seen anything like that. You play a team 19 times, 10 times in their building, and you lose all 10. Now,
and there were like, I can think of 4 or 5 of them where they were leading in the eighth,
yep,
or tied in the seventh.
Oh, yes, for sure. I mean, it happened all the time. But the Blue Jays don't go to Yankee Stadium until June, the end of June, June 17th. So I guess we won't have to freak out until that point. That'll be good.
That'll be good. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the thing. I mean, we talked about this last year, too. Though the Yankees and the Blue Jays, there wasn't a whole lot to separate the two except for those 10 games.
Right. Yeah, over the course of the entire season, their record at Yankee Stadium. Like, did the Yankees finish 10 games ahead of the Jays in the standings last year?
I'd have to check it out. I'll check it out right now. But it was very close. They finished 12 games back in Boston and Blue Jays 23 games back. So 11-game difference between the Blue Jays and Yankees.
So you throw out those games at Yankee Stadium and they basically had the same record, which is crazy. And I mean, the Jays were like 5-4 against them at home or 4-5. I don't remember which. But it's insane. They were the exact same team, except for the games they played at Yankee Stadium.
Well, all this has got me thinking about the schedule and the way it shapes up for the Blue Jays, because it's nice to project forward and look at, you know, times where it's maybe not minus 1,000, even though it's only about 0 degrees, but snowing like crazy out there right now. They start off the season, tough one, in Tampa for 4 games to get the season underway, starting on March 31st. You know, actually, I almost prefer that than the years they used to start off. There was a couple of years in a row, I think they started off, or at least played early season games outdoors in Detroit or Cleveland. And you
last
got a couple
year, second week of the season. Yeah, in Detroit. 2 years ago, they opened in Cleveland.
Yeah, I was there. Remember,
crazy.
We went on the air together.
We were in Detroit, you were. Yeah, in the yeah. Cleveland game, the 18-inning game on opening day 2 years ago.
J.P. Arencibia home run.
Just so freaking cold.
So I mean,
especially after the sun went down.
So they don't have to worry about that, and then they return home for 3 against the Yankees, and then here's a nice little chunk of the schedule: 3 against Houston as well. So I think overall, that's not a horrible way to start the first week and a half, 2 weeks of the season in Tampa, home against the Yankees in Houston.
When do they go outside for the first time?
They go to Baltimore April 11th for 3, and in Minnesota April 15th. For
yeah,
3 and in Cleveland. Oh boy. So that you could be looking at a whole bunch of makeup games there because they go on that long road trip in Baltimore, in Minnesota, in Cleveland in the middle of April where I mean, who knows what the weather is going to be like. So that's an ugly stretch for early season baseball.
Yeah, and you know, last year in Detroit it was so bad that first week of the season, but they got all 3 games in, and we thought there
would be
2 rainouts or snowouts or whatever. So they'll probably push the same way, especially now when you only make 1 trip into Minnesota, 1 trip into Cleveland. Baltimore, they can bag games and play doubleheaders later or whatever, but to have to go back to those cities and other divisions, they try really hard to get the games in. But it is an interesting schedule because it could turn pretty quickly. You know, you've got Tampa, which is a house of horrors for the Jays, and if they split that first series of the season,
good start.
Then that would be fantastic because they've only done that well once in the last 8 years in Tampa. And then you're home to the Yankees and maybe Tanaka. It depends on whether he starts the first or second game of the season for the Yankees. If he's their opening day starter, then
no, it's got to be CeCe.
We'll see him. I would think so too. It's got to be CeCe. But if he pitches game 2, then the Jays won't see him. And then Houston comes in, and Houston's terrible. and then that road trip. So you know, at the end of that road trip, they'll have played like 20 games, and it'll be a nice little taste of what they are so far, but the key I think will be to see how many healthy players they come back from Minnesota with, or and, Cleveland, whichever the last stop is on that trip.
And you mentioned Tampa, the house of horrors, only coming away with a split like once in the last 100 years. And
yeah.
Remember how they got that split? They had to come back from 8 runs down.
J.P. Arencibia.
Yeah, so they did that. That was like one of the highlights of a very forgettable year last year. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for this. Oh, you get to go down to Dunedin soon. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's not snowing there, I'm led to understand.
Well, yeah, it is in the south, but not in Dunedin, and hopefully the weather improves down south as well. Thanks for this, Michael. Enjoy.
Anytime, Benjamin.